Mason in Ireland. Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. And we got the scoop coming up. We got Radio Tinder coming up. We got Game of Games coming up. Oh, Michael's here.
Yeah, I just showed up.
Oh, I like it.
Hey, all Michael.
Right. Hey, Ramona. Yeah.
Matter of fact, Michael, I have you're my lead story in the scoop, so I'm glad you're going to be around for it. You can comment on it.
I like that. All
right.
Okay, so this happened, and I'm glad you guys are both here because I struggle with this topic. I don't know what to do with people that have been canceled in a scandal. In other words, they've lost their job because they've done something that, and they probably deserved it. There are circumstances to all behavior. And so yesterday, Urban Meyer, who's taken over as the head coach of the Jaguars in Jacksonville, hired a guy named Chris Doyle to be his strength coach. Doyle was just fired at the University of Iowa. And the reason he was fired is because he was accused of making racist remarks, belittling and bullying players. Doyle was forced out at Iowa when over the past year, numerous former Iowa players talked about the mistreatment within the program. A number of black players said that Doyle used racist language and treated them differently because of their race. Here's what Dan Wetzel from Yahoo wrote yesterday. He said, quote, "It makes so little sense because of how unnecessary this hiring is. Out of hundreds of people qualified to run a sports performance department for an NFL team, you couldn't find someone who hadn't been accused of telling a black player at Iowa he would get sent back to the ghetto or that maybe you should take up rowing or something, you know? Oh, wait, black people don't like boats in the water, do they?" End quote. Here's what Urban Meyer said about hiring Chris Doyle yesterday.
Well, I met with our staff about it, and I'm going to be very transparent with all the players like I am with everything. And listen closely and learn. And also, there's going to have to be some trust in their head coach that we're going to give them the very best of the best. And time will tell. You know, once again, a player that's hurt and not performing or not maximized with strength and prehab ability, so they're getting hurt or they're not performing at the highest level, I think is a high priority. You know, the allegations that took place, I will share, I vetted them. I know the person for close to 20 years. And I can assure them there will be nothing of any sort in the Jaguar facility.
All right. So, Ramon, I'll have you go first here. A lot of people are upset over this. The Fritz Pollard Alliance issued a statement saying this is typical old boys network, that they would ignore that this guy treated those black players that way. Urban Meyer's obviously given him a second chance. Should he give Chris Doyle a second chance?
No. I just think Urban is used to this rule where he's the man, like he's Urban Meyer. I win everywhere I go. I win Florida, win at Ohio State, and I can kind of do what I want. And, you know, he kind of got away with that in college because you're the big man on campus when you're the head coach, and you're especially when you're successful. But I don't think you get to do that in the NFL. I don't think you have any credibility in the NFL yet. And if you have credibility and you have a long track record where you – but. He had that scandal at Ohio State, right? I mean, I'm trying to remember.
Right, with one of his assistants was accused of abusing his wife.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you've established the credibility to stick your neck out for somebody like that right now when we haven't really heard from Chris Doyle, right? Like, he hasn't done any, you know, mea culpas. He hasn't done any big
explanations. No, he issued a statement claiming that he never treated players differently. He was just trying to make the best. Now, Michael, this is a tough one for you because I know you believe in second chances, and I also know that you detest – screamer coaches that belittle their players and yell and you know, the Bobby Knights of the world. Where do you sit on this one? Do you think Urban Meyer made a mistake here?
I believe if Chris Doyle apologized for his actions, maybe realized he was wrong, didn't mean to come across as racist or racial, and he was ignorant to the fact that he was like that, if he sees the error of his ways and says, I'm going to change and be a better person for it, sure, give him a second chance. There are, you know, people who, like Ramona, and who are so unforgiving of people's sins and mistakes. There are some sins and mistakes, Ramona, that, you know, you don't get a second chance.
No.
You rape a kid, you rape a woman, you kill someone.
Yeah.
No, you go away go away forever.
Go away.
But when you commit these kind of infractions, these kind of insults, these things that offend people because of the things you say to them, and you're so ignorant, you don't realize you're hurting these people. If someone like Chris Doyle say, you know what, I got to be a better person. I'm willing to change. I understand I can't do that. People who don't want to forgive people for racial overtones or racist thoughts or whatever, they need to watch a movie called Burden or watch a movie called The Best of Enemies, where black people were dealing with the Klan in the South. And this great movie called Burden, starring Forrest Whitaker, it is a great movie.
Mm.
The Ku Klux Klan was setting up a museum in South Carolina town, and the black reverend there was, you know, obviously everybody was upset about it. And one of the Klansmen was running this, helping to run this museum. He met this nice white lady, and she was against all this segregation and racism in the Klan.
Mm.
And she helped to make him realize the error of his ways. They got kicked out. They got evicted because this Klansman decided, I don't want to be like that anymore. And so the Klan, who basically ran the little town that they were in, blacklisted him. He couldn't find anywhere to live. He could not get a job in that little town. But you know who took
him? That's interesting. So, Michael,
let me finish. You know who took him in? The black reverend took him into his home and helped change this man's heart about how he felt about different races and all, you know, but how it went. Anyway, it's a true story. And so people like Doyle, I'm not saying he's a Klansman or anything like that, but people who are ignorant to how offensive they are racially, you got to sit him down and educate him. And if he's willing to change, give him a chance.
Here's the thing.
Has he, though? Like,
well, that's right. We got to find out if he has, Ramona. You're right.
Michael, you know what I liked about your stance on this is you're allowing for a happy ending for everybody.
Yeah, I agree.
You're putting out the possibility that this could be a positive for not only Doyle, but you know, he's obviously good at his job. Urban Meyer wouldn't have taken the PR hit for this if this guy wasn't a really good strength coach. But it allows for if this guy, but you're right, it'll a lot will depend on what his public I don't want to say statement, how he handles this from here on out.
Yeah, you're right.
Because that's there's a lot of people calling for Meyer to go back on this and fire him. But if Doyle came out today and did a press conference, you're right, he might be able to reverse it.
Exactly. He's got to come out publicly and says, I realize I was wrong. I cannot talk to people like that the way I was speaking to young men. I didn't realize what I was saying. Maybe he didn't realize it. But if he's not sincere, then no, he should not be around minorities or anyone like that. But give him a chance. He'll see what he has to say.
Hey, by the way, Michael, did you hear the last segment we did on the crypto cards?
Yeah, I was listening to that stuff. That's crazy.
What do you get it? I wouldn't buy one because I don't completely understand it. I think Ramona's going to buy one.
Yeah. These collectors these days, man, it's amazing what is selling. I don't understand how Bitcoin works, so don't ask me about this stuff.
I don't totally understand it either, and I generally have a philosophy that when everybody – and their mother is starting to buy something because they just heard about it, it's probably too late.
Did you ever invest in anything when you first got into the NBA and started making money? Did you ever invest in anything that you regret investing in now?
When I first got into the NBA, I wanted to be the shoe distributor in the Bahamas for Nike products.
Cool.
Smart.
So I said, I'm going to do that. And so everybody who's buying, all the retailers who needed the equipment for Nike would come to me. But you know what they did? They say, man, I ain't going to no Bahamian. I'm going to Miami and get the goods over there and have them shipped to the Bahamas. How about that?
Okay.
So I had to close my business.
Cut you out?
Yeah, they cut me out. They went, instead of using me to get the stuff, they went to Miami to get their stuff instead.
Did you, Ramona, have you ever heard the story about Michael's first NBA shoe deal?
No.
All right. Michael, you haven't told this in a while. Tell her you were on the original, what they call it, the flight squad?
Yeah, Air Force One.
Okay.
Air Force One. We were the original six members of Air Force One on the poster. Me, Calvin Natt, Jamal Wilkes, Moses Malone, and Bobby Jones. Us five. Bobby Jones from the Sixers.
And so you didn't last. Why not?
Well, they had this thing called the Nike Club, Ramona. So about 40 or 50, about 30 guys in the NBA was in this thing called the Nike Club. So we would all get this Nike shoes, all the products we wanted. We'll each make about $50,000 a year.
Which back then was a ton of money.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? We thought we were Michael Jordan back then. We thought we were LeBron with the shoe deal. And every summer, Nike would take the whole lot of us with our girlfriends or wives on a luxurious trip either to Maui. One year we went to Spain.
Cool.
We went to Spain. I mean, the whole thing, it was first-class treatment, Ramon. This was going on for about 2-3 years. And then Nike came up with this stupid idea to shut down the Nike Club, meaning they got rid of about, I'd say, 25 of us and kept like 3 or 4 main guys. got rid of the rest of us because Nike wanted to do this stupid investment in some guy named Michael Jordan.
And now that's like the Tommy Lasorda story where Tommy Lasorda got cut by the Dodgers because they needed to make room for somebody on the roster. And Lasorda always points out that the person he got cut for to make room on the roster was Sandy Koufax.
Yeah.
Wow.
You got Koufaxed, Michael.
Yeah, I know, man. So Nike says, you know what? Instead of paying all these guys, these 25 guys, let's just focus most of our attention on Michael Jordan. And who knows how that turned out? I don't know.
Yeah.
Coming up next, it's The Scoop. And my first story in The Scoop has to do with the great Michael Thompson. We'll do it next. 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thank you, Tommy Chong. It's time for The Scoop, all the things we haven't had time to get to yet. Ramon is here. Michael Thompson is here. And I'll start with a Michael Thompson story. As many of you know, Michael was off of Twitter for a while. The good news is that he's back. Michael forgot his password, couldn't access his own account, but our social media wizard, Carlos Sisu, figured it out, and now Michael's back under his handle, at Champagne and Nuts. Ramona, last night, Michael sent a tweet out saying, quote, "And now, the best show on TV's on, Shaq and Charles postgame." Then they read his tweet on the air. Here's what it sounded like.
Okay. Michael Thompson, Shaq and Charles postgame. Hey, Michael Thompson, one of the best to ever do it.
Michael, where does this rank in your career highlights of having your tweet read by Charles Barkley on TNT?
I feel, now I know how a Brit feels when the Queen has just knighted him or her. I feel like I just got knighted by Sir Charles. They do call him Sir Charles. Well, I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there watching. I go, whoa, they actually put my tweet up there. I was honored, flattered. I was beaming from ear to ear.
All right, so Ramona and Lindsay, the question for you guys is, if you could have your name dropped in on any TV show, they would find a way to get your name in, what show would you pick, Momo?
Ooh.
The first one I thought for you is, you would love to have your name dropped in Game of Thrones, back when Game of Thrones was on.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
Like if they named, instead of Brienne of Tarth, it would be Ramona from Tarzana is fighting the... All right, what is
it? Okay, so if I could be like I actually knew a guy, his name is Jeff Nathanson. Do you know Jeff Nathanson? He's like he's a broadcaster, but he actually has played the journalist in a bunch of movies.
Okay.
You're gonna
laugh at this. I had no idea you knew Jeff Nathanson. Nathanson and I ran the UCLA campus radio station together in the 80s.
Yeah, he's an old buddy of mine, and he is a guy. Do you remember that commercial where it's like, who's shooting? It's like, I think he's like the sports announcer, and somebody's just making these crazy shots. Who is it? Is it LeBron? I'm trying to remember who that is. It's like this great commercial, and Jeff basically ad-libbed the whole thing. Like, he's just like, are you guys getting this? Are you getting this? Like, he's just making three-point shot. I think it's LeBron who's making the shots, right? So Jeff has, like, the coolest job. He's been in so many of these like commercials, and he's like a face and a voice you hear all the time. So I have another friend, Joy Benedict. She's always in movies or TV shows. Yeah. So she's always like, I used to see her on How to Get Away with Murder or Scandal. She would play like a news reporter. So one of my goals, I would love to do this at some point in my life. I would love to play myself in a show, right? Like Scott Van Pelt is in Ted Lasso. So cool, right?
Yeah, which is great.
So I would love to play myself in Billions. I love that show.
Yeah. I would want to be on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay.
I would want to have Leon or Larry get mad at me. Like, I'd be the guy. Mm-hmm. Like, that. Look at that idiot, John Ireland. His coffee order is so long, we couldn't even get in.
Yeah.
I would. Lindsay, if I could put you in a TV show, which one would it be?
Curb would be great, but I have to say probably The Office, because there's so, like, that's such a great show. And that one, I feel like it's going to, like, live online forever, that people will enjoy for years to come, that people will always be able to go back and see it and hear my name.
Momo, it's to you.
All right. Okay, so Steph Curry recently revealed that back in 2015, and you know Steph's a really big golfer too, okay?
Right.
During the Warriors' first playoff round, and Michael, you remember this, obviously, because they were down to Memphis. Mm-hmm. So Curry got a call from Tiger Woods in the middle of the playoff series. It was just totally out of the blue, and Steph says that it was the best pep talk he's ever gotten. At the end of it, he said, "I'm ready for it. I know I can get it done." Then Tiger says to him, "Prove it," and then hung up. Okay? Curry scored 33 points in the next game to help the Warriors tie the series, and they never looked back. They would eventually beat LeBron James in the finals. My question for you is, who is the most random person or the best person who's ever given you a pep talk, and what advice did they give you?
So I was playing at a pro-am golf tournament once.
All right.
And I missed an easy putt. And so I was walking to the next hole, and Craig Stadler, who's on tour and has won the Masters, walks up to me and goes, "That was the worst putt I've ever seen, and I've been playing in pro-ams for 30 years. Get your That's blank awesome. Together." And he just kind of smiles at me, and it totally woke me up.
Nice.
Yeah, it totally
like
locked
it.
Me in. Michael, is yours Magic Johnson or Kareem or somebody?
No, it might be a guy you may have heard about. I don't think Lindsay's heard about him, or Jorge. But I was sitting in the audience one time at the University of Minnesota, and this speaker was up at the podium speaking, and I was shocked that he pointed me out and knew my name and told me to continue to strive for my goals and to work hard, and I could achieve anything that I set my mind to it, and never take anything for granted and appreciate all the gifts that God has given me. And I was sitting there, and I said, I can't believe this guy's talking to me. And he looked at me right in the eye, and I was kind of just stunned. I couldn't move.
Who was it?
You want to know?
Yeah. Come on.
You probably never heard of him, Lindsay. A guy named Jesse Owens.
Oh, my gosh.
Jesse Owens.
Wow.
Yeah?
Wow.
Ohio native.
Jorge, that's right. Jorge, you know who Jesse Owens is?
Yeah, for track, right?
Yeah. Oh, track, right.
Famous Olympian.
Yeah, Jesse Owens actually pointed me out in the audience of about 50 people and looked at me and spoke to me directly. Jesse freaking Owens.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You don't happen to have, like, tape of it,
oh,
do you?
Somebody's got to have it somewhere in the
archives.
I'll
find it for you.
Yeah.
I'll find it someday.
I got to do it. I got to. Just the fact that he said my name, I almost peed my pants.
What?
Jesse Owens, people.
It's just the way you said that was so funny.
All right, it's to me. Guys, as of this morning, Whitney Wolf Hurd, who is 31 years old, became the world's youngest self-made woman billionaire, according to Forbes.
How old is she?
31.
What's she look like?
She's cute. She owns a dating app.
Ramona,
Michael,
the
wait.
Is,
I know where this is going.
The answer is it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
She's the Bumble lady.
Yeah.
Yep.
She owns a dating app called Bumble. And when it went public this week, the initial IPO made her a fortune. Her company is now worth over $7 billion. Oh. She started Bumble after leaving Tinder, which she co-founded, and eventually sued for sexual harassment. Tinder denied any wrongdoing, and the case was later settled. The difference between Bumble and Tinder is that on Bumble, only women can initiate chats with male mates. If you're looking for a same-sex match, either person can reach out first. Now, since it's rare that I have two women on the show, let me ask Ramona and Lindsay something. If you're single, Ramona, we know you're married to Nevin. If you're single and looking, does the fact that you, Lindsay and Ramona, initiate the chats make you more comfortable? Would you rather be the one pursuing or the one being pursued? Momo, you first.
Oh, definitely the one pursuing. I mean, Tinder to me is, I think, okay, look, I'm not in this market. I don't swim in this pool, okay? But from what I understand, Tinder is a hookup app. right? Right. Tinder's like, I'm lonely. Somebody, you know, I just want someone to meet up with, okay? Tonight, preferably, right? Where are you located? Bumble is a little, it can be like that, but I would much rather slide into somebody else's DMs than have them slide into mine, right? Like, I think that's the, now, I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm not going to name names, all right?
Okay, got it.
But I met a girl at a party hosted by your co-host.
Okay.
And it was, like, the most intense 30 minutes of conversation I have ever had. All of us were she was holding court showing us what Bumble was and the way that women behave on Bumble.
All right. Was I in attendance at that party?
You were there.
Okay.
So yep, that'll help you me were there. And let me just tell you, sometimes you think that women are like a little more coy or whatever. Nope. Not this one.
Lindsay, how about you? Would you rather be the one being pursued or doing the pursuing?
So I don't like that for that reason, because I feel like it puts all the, you know, obviously puts all the onus and the pressure on the woman to be the one to come up with like a clever line. And like, I'm not going to do that. I want the person, like, I would want the guy to like say something impressive to me, because, you know, instead of just saying like hi or hey, which is probably like 99% of what people say, if you have something that's like clever or funny, then I'd probably
be more likely to respond.
Yeah,
you want to see what the guy's working with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I don't want to be the one that has to deal with all that. No, thanks. You got to impress me.
How about this?
So when I used to date, I did like guys pursuing me, but that's in the real world. It's IRL, right?
How about this line, Lindsay? Lindsay, what about a guy comes up to you and he says, excuse me, ma'am, can I have the time, please? And you give him the time. And he'll say, I just wanted to ask because I just want this to make sure this is our anniversary a year from now.
Ooh, good one, hey, Michael.
I would think that was kind of cute.
There you go.
That's good.
That's right.
Yeah, and Michael, that's a little more nuanced than, hey, Lindsay, you know what would look good on you?
What?
Me.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't fall for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think pick up lines online.
What about this one, Lindsay?
Different than in person.
What about this one, Lindsay? Hey, I'm a Laker. I'll see you at the game on Sunday.
That's Michael, sick. You used that on Julie.
I know, and it worked.
Yeah, worked on her. I'd be like, sorry, I'm a Cavs fan.
What?
Yeah. See, but that would make him like you more if she came back at you with that.
That's right, exactly.
All right, speaking of Lakers, coming up next. Lakers play Memphis tonight at Staples Center. I have no idea how Memphis has won 10 games. They're 10-10. They've missed 7 games because of COVID. 7. And tonight, a basketball roster has 15 people on it. They have 8 guys out. 8. Eric Hasseltine, who has my job for the Grizzlies, he's their radio play-by-play guy, will join us next to explain how they're pulling this magic trick off. That's next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, Mason in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne is filling in for Mace today. Tonight, we have Lakers-Grizzlies at Staples Center, 7 o'clock. It's nationally televised on ESPN. You can watch it on Spectrum Sportsnet, and you can hear every game here on 710 ESPN LA. Now, the guy, Ramona, who has my job, the radio play-by-play job for the Grizzlies, is my buddy Eric Hasseltine, who's nice enough to join us now. And, Eric, first of all, how you holding up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, except for, like, the winner from Minnesota decided to come to Memphis, so everything's frozen here.
No kidding.
Yeah, I didn't know I moved to Michigan, and I made a mistake and thought it was Memphis. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, normally it's super warm down there. All right, so, Eric, here's my question. How in the world has this team won 10 games? You had 6 or 7 games wiped out completely by COVID.
Right.
Tonight, I think there are 7, maybe 8 guys out. I don't know how this team's won 2 games, let alone 10 games. How have they done it?
Well, it's the system and the fact that these guys genuinely really like each other, and we saw that chemistry last year before the shutdown, and then unfortunately, in the bubble right before they started play again. Justice Winslow had a hip like dislocation, basically. I don't want to give a medical term that I'm not qualified to give, but right. he described it, and so he didn't even play in the bubble. Then Jaren Jackson Jr. hurt his knee, and we found out it was a torn meniscus, and he missed it. But it was a lot of the things they were doing last year. They share the basketball. They score in the lane, but not because they try to pound it in the post. They score in the lane by breaking out, running, moving the ball. They've been at the top of the league in assists the last 2 years. This year they're averaging around 10 steals a game. And you'll see tonight, John, obviously it's a tall task anytime you play the Lakers, let alone without the guys that they need to get that job done. But there'll be times tonight where the Lakers will make a shot and probably will make a bunch of them. And at times, Grizzlies will take the ball to the net and start running the other way. They don't care whether you make or miss. They're going to try to come right back at you. There was a stretch of that four-game losing streak where they got somewhat disoriented defensively somehow, and that's been their biggest problem this year has been defending a high pick-and-roll when Jonas Valanciunas is in, because he tends to kind of sag back in the middle, and it gives guys really open looks from the pick-and-pop. But with their rookie Xavier Tillman out of Michigan State, he's a little bit quicker. He's a little undersized, but you know, a 6'9", 245-pound strong young man, he was able to kind of hedge up on that high ball screen, and that really kind of sparked them. The addition of Desmond Bane giving them a really good shooter from the outside. He's not going to play tonight because, unfortunately, for his family, and our thoughts and prayers go with him, that his grandmother passed away. Nah. He's going to take some time there. But he's really added another spark. And John Morant's just taking step forwards. Obviously, that's the big name that everybody's seen. He has moments where he still looks like a 21-year-old point guard jumping into the lane, superior athleticism, and realizing that a lot of guys in the NBA have superior athleticism and they're going to meet him at the rim or they're going to be physical with him. But he has that drive in him to be great. And Kyle Anderson has worked very hard. He's as healthy as he's been, he said, in the last 3-4 years. His shot improved greatly. You know, the thing sometimes is when they really need a basket, and I've watched a lot of your games, listened to it. It's funny. I get to listen to you probably as much as anybody else because you guys start generally when I'm on my way home from our home game.
So, yeah.
As I text you sometimes during the games, I love what you guys do. And, you know, it's going to be those situations where, you know, you need a bucket, so you go to LeBron, or you need a bucket, so you go to AD. Well, the Grizzlies don't necessarily really have that. Ja's working his way towards that. And that's where they'll get kind of disconnected. They'll have a lead. A team will go on a run. For example, the game against Toronto, Nick Nurse got thrown out of the game. The Grizzlies had a 10-point lead. And on the air, I said, hey, this is a critical 2-minute and 30-second stretch in the final minutes of the third, because either Toronto's going to push back and get back into this game, or with their head coach getting tossed and already being a little depleted with
Kyle
Lowry leading the game for back spasms. Yeah, they actually went on a big run at that point. Because Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet, they're the guys they know they can go to. So that's where you've had problems, and that's where the next step for this team is having that go-to guy that you can count on to go get you a bucket when you need to stop an 8-0, 10-0 run.
So I'm wondering about Ja, because whenever I watch him play, I can't believe the ceiling on this kid, right? He's already really good. He believes he can be great. I think he can be great. I wonder about the body, right? Like, is he gaining weight? Does he need to gain weight? Like, how is that? And that just comes, right? Like, that's just, you know, a couple years in the league, you get a little older, you know, like, where is he with that and just durability with him?
Well, Ramona, I think he put on a little weight when we had the layoff in between March 11th and then the bubble, and he got stronger. As you guys both know, you know, you're running up and down a basketball court for 48 NBA minutes, 2.5 hours, you're going to burn a lot of calories, and I don't care how much you guys, you know, how much these guys eat. We kind of compare it to ourselves, and I know for myself at 48, if I eat the way these guys do, I'm going to be 275 pounds in the blink of an eye. they burn it off, their metabolism's bouncing around like a Super Bowl. So, you know, it's tough, but that's where the offseason will come in, and that's where he does have that drive to be amazing and be great and want that responsibility of being the leader of a team. He and Jaren Jackson get along phenomenally. We haven't seen Jaren yet this year. He loves his other teammates. He and Tyus Jones have formed a really nice bond. And, you know, they have the second youngest roster in the league right now, and that's including, you know, Gorgie Jang, who's, you know, got 1 year left on his deal, and he's the only guy that's 30 years old. And so
it's really on the whole team
to see. Yeah. I mean, like on the whole team, the only guy that was that's got the three in front of his age is Gorgie. So, you know, we joked with Xavier Tillman because he's married with a child already, even though he's just about turned 22, and said, hey, when you walk in the locker room, you're not the youngest guy there, even though you're a rookie.
Yeah.
You're like one of the older guys. And he laughed and he said, that's true, because he actually was one of the guys that kind of mentored Jaren at Michigan State. And, you know, it's just a unique situation. And the system is such that it's constant ball movement, constantly looking, and at times to a fault. Sometimes these guys make too many extra passes, and sometimes these guys pass on really good looks and then get another good look, but it may be a guy that you want to take that really good look, like a Grayson Allen from the wing. Instead, he gives in the corner, and it may not be quite as good a shooter. Still a good shooter, but these guys don't think about that, and they have a tremendous amount of resiliency, in my opinion, for a team as young as they are.
Eric Hasseltine, who is the radio play-by-play voice of the Grizzlies, is with us. You kind of made reference to this, but last thing here. Every time Michael and I go to Memphis, we either end up at Gus's Fried Chicken,
yeah,
at Rendezvous, the rib joint, at Flight, that one restaurant that has everything, all the Southern cooking.
Yeah, Flight's so good.
How are you not fat?
Well, you know, that's great. That's a great question. I play tennis about 3 days a week, and they just opened a gym again. Thankfully, my girlfriend is also into fitness, so we do that. But yeah, Flight is amazing. I'm going to have to get you the next time you're out here and pick you guys up and bring you out. Now we have a new place by the owners of Flight called Coastal Fish. It's got a beautiful view of a little water area called Shelby Farms, or Southern Social, which is even more Southern than Flight. You guys are big Gus's guys. The guys actually in Memphis really were disappointed that they weren't allowing you guys to travel, because when you guys...
That's their Gus's biggest week of the year, yeah.
Yeah, no, nobody eats in the media room because you guys bring like three trays and leave half of them uneaten, so everybody just scarfs. And you know how media people are. There's free food.
If it's free,
it's like
me.
The Tasmanian devil. So,
right.
Yeah, no, it's been a remarkable run for me out here personally. Not that anybody in your listening audience probably cares, but growing up in Northern California, I never thought I'd live in Memphis for 20 years, but that's what it's been now. And this organization's treated me incredibly well. And, you know, I feel blessed to have had this opportunity and to not be 300 pounds living out here with the food. And,
seriously.
But to have the friendships and be able to watch a team that I really enjoy being around is a lot of fun. And by the way, I didn't get to say this, really respect the work that Ramona does as well for ESPN and covering the league.
Yeah,
I know,
yeah.
Ramona, you're tight with my guy Gary Parrish out here, and have gone on the show, and I've always enjoyed the contributions there as well. And John, you know, I'm a big fan of you as well, so I really appreciate you guys having me.
Well, I'll tell you this. Memphis is like one of my favorite NBA towns. Every time I get a chance to cover the Grizzlies or go out there, right, I always want to go. And then I also think, though, it's one of my favorite just road cities. Like, if there's a team and you want to meet up with them on a road trip, and I always look to be like, hey, are they in Memphis anytime soon?
Right. Yeah. You got that. That's and, you know, I only know two people in Memphis, you know, well. I know Eric, and I know Zach Kleiman, the Grizzlies GM who used to work for the Lakers, who is a great guy. And Zach and Eric combined don't add up to 300 pounds. They're like two like totally normal guys.
I mean, I've been to the Orpheum Theater out there. I go to the Itabina, you know, that restaurant above BBQ.
Yeah. So many
that
good
place
spots.
Is great. Yeah. You know, sometimes I rent a car and I go drive out, you know, it's so pretty out there. Oh.
And the owner of Itabina has opened another place called Moondance that is another fantastic restaurant.
Now I'm lobbying.
Man, we gotta
go. I'm lobbying to travel this year. Forget next year. I'm
like, come on.
Eric, I in wrapping this up, I literally out of habit almost said I'll see you tonight. But those days are different. So I wish you a lot of health and thank you for doing this, and hopefully we can do this again soon, maybe in the playoffs.
I hope so. And two things to bring to Memphis when you come here: your golf clubs and your appetite. That's
amen.
You can take care of both ends there, and stay safe out there. And we'll look forward to seeing you guys hopefully again down the road.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. There's Eric Hasseltine, the voice of the Grizzlies. Coming up next, Lindsay will get in here with Radio Tinder. Ramona Informace. I'm John Ireland. 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, it's that time of day where Lindsay compiles a bunch of stuff she wants us to react to. What do you got, Linz?
Well, since it's Friday, we're going to take a page out of my favorite Reddit forum, Am I the A-hole?
I love this.
This is good, okay.
A mother's 19-year-old daughter has her own YouTube channel, and when the teen recently opened up about her private life to her subscribers in a video, she revealed that the mother's 27-year-old boyfriend has mental health issues. Then, the mother decided that she was going to demand the teen remove the videos, and she sent a cease and desist.
Whoa.
The mother wrote in the forum, quote, I called my daughter and confronted her on publicly labeling my boyfriend bipolar. Those claims are factually untrue. I told my daughter to take down the video because she was basically defaming him, and she refused and said she was just trying to tell her story. Reddit users thought that the mother was way out of line. Do you agree that the mother was wrong to try and start taking legal action? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, she asked the daughter to take it down and the daughter refused?
Correct. Because she said, I'm opening up about my life. This is part of my life. And she shared instances where it made her feel uncomfortable or weird or just her experience of living with someone who's
bipolar.
This
is a really good question, Ramona, because...
Yeah.
If the daughter would have agreed, hey, yeah, I probably shouldn't have brought that up. Let me take that one video down. Then I think the mom stands down and lets her keep the YouTube channel. But now it's almost like I think she's teaching her a lesson in consequences. I think I swipe right here.
Yeah. I mean, I personally think like you, a lot of times when your parents tell you to do something makes you not want to do it. But I think the mom's right in the sense that I don't think you can publicly accuse somebody of that, right? Like in a video.
Well, by the way, Mason's bipolar. I think we're all a little bipolar, right? It's not a very insulting thing to me. Are you guys insulted if I called you bipolar?
No, but it is something that like, okay, let's say you were doing, research on a job applicant or somebody.
You don't necessarily want that out there in the public
domain. I don't know of any legal cases where somebody's been, they've sued because somebody accused them of this. But I was reading an interesting story on people who like these like anonymous people who leave like terrible Yelp reviews and try to ruin somebody's business because they had a falling out and they won't stop. Right. And they'll make weird, crazy accusations online. And like a lot of these like, Google reviews, Yelp reviews, whatever, like this can really be a problem. And so like, I don't know, the video like that could kind of fits in the same category.
Lindsay, right? What do you think?
I think that the mom is being ridiculous and she's out of line. And if this girl, I mean, she's 19 years old. It's not like she's like a teenager that needs her mom's permission to talk about her life. She's 19 years old. So it's not like she's like 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think the fact that she's her whole point of her video channel is to share her life experiences. And she's pointing out this is what she deals with on a daily basis.
Well,
I think it's
one thing to kind of piggyback on your point, Lindsay, one thing the mom did was she brought more attention to it by doing what she did.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It probably wouldn't have gotten this much attention if she didn't do it.
Yeah.
What's next?
All right. NBA legend Bill Russell turned 87 today, and he celebrated by blowing out a small forest fire on his birthday cake. And the video is great. Here's what it sounds like.
So... what do you think about being 87?
Kick your f-
I know one thing. I ain't eating that cake.
Good job.
But you're not eating that cake, Michael, because he probably spit on it?
Oh, yeah. He spit blue all over that. Let's forget that.
Oh, yeah. He wrote in the caption, "Woo, I made it to 87. I want to thank my wife for another amazing cake and the small forest fire upon it. Thank Sean Kemp Jr. for standing by with the fire extinguisher just in case. Next time, bring a CPR kit." With all of the goat talk this week, with Russell's 11 NBA championships, why isn't he more in the conversation of one of the greatest ever? I feel like it's always
because
LeBron
Michael says
and Michael
this
Jordan.
All the time.
It's one of my pet peeves in life. And
answer. Why is that?
Because people like you, Lindsay, and Max Kellerman say that the the old era of the NBA doesn't count. It didn't really start until Magic and Bird came along.
Here's my answer to your question, and Michael, tell me if you agree. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, and this is true with the NBA, one of my big pet peeves with the NBA is that Michael Cooper is not in it.
Yeah.
Michael Cooper was the best defensive player on a Lakers team that went to 9 NBA finals, to all of Magic's Laker teams that went to the finals. Michael Cooper was on, I think, all but one of them.
Yeah.
And you're on defense, Ramona, literally half the time. And Bill Russell, Michael, tell me if this is hyperbole, I think it's the greatest defensive player in NBA history.
Yeah. Anybody who knows basketball history would say that, yes.
He not only would he block shots, but he didn't do any of this crap where you're going to swat it into the third row.
Yeah.
Bill
right.
Russell would block your shot and either catch it or tip it to himself and start a fast break. And I've never understood why more elite players don't copy that.
Yeah.
Because it gets your team going the other way. And the other thing he did was is it fair to say maybe 6'9"?
About 6'9", 6'10".
He's listed at 6'10", okay.
Yeah. About 6'9".
At 6'9", he was one of the greatest rebounders, if not the greatest rebounder that the league has ever seen.
I mean, all right, I'm going to read you his career stats. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
15 points a game, 22.5 rebounds a game, 4.3 assists, okay?
And they didn't keep block shots when he was around.
Right, and they didn't keep blocks back then. Yeah. But, you know, five-time MVP.
I'm sorry, Ramon.
11-time NBA champion. And I think the answer to the question is, one, it happened a long time ago, so we don't know.
Right, there's not YouTube on Bill Russell.
But they don't hold that against Babe Ruth in a segregated league.
Yeah,
right. They also don't hold it against guys like Muhammad Ali. He's still known as the greatest boxer. Oh,
but no, Michael, wouldn't you agree with me that it's because, in general, NBA people, even the experts who vote on the Hall of Fame, don't respect great defense as much as they respect great offense.
Here's the thing about that, guys.
22 rebounds a game.
Here's the thing about that, Ramona. One time Bill Russell was sitting up there where John and I broadcast a game from, so I got to sit down one-on-one with him, just me and him talking. I couldn't believe he actually knew my name. I was like, he was like, Jesse Owens called me, and I can't believe Bill Russell knew me. And I called him Mr. Russell, by the way.
Of course.
I said, Mr. Russell, the knock on you is that you didn't score enough. Like 15, you only like 16, 17 points a game. And he said, looked at me, says, boy. And he did say, boy. I said, yes, sir.
Whoa.
Said, I could have scored. He told me, verbatim, I could have scored 25 to 30 points a game, but I wouldn't have 11 championships now, would I?
Right.
I said, well, good point there.
So, and Michael, you know, he also did it in college at the University of San Francisco.
That's right.
He won championships.
Two of them. And a gold medal. But Michael Jordan deserves all the accolades he gets, but people look at him as the standard and not Bill Russell, which I don't understand.
I will say this, Lindsay, that, and Michael is evidence of this, NBA players, people like Kobe and Jordan and even LeBron, hold Russell as a god.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, he walks into the room and that's the first place they go. Even I was watching a backstage Laker this week, even Jeannie Buss, they had a Lakers-Celtics event last year when we were allowed to bring fans in the building, and Bill Russell happened to be there that day, and he was wearing a Kobe jersey because it was after Kobe had passed away, and he wanted to pay respects to Kobe. And when Jeannie walked into the room with all these Laker greats and Celtic greats and all these season ticket holders, Jeannie walked right up to Bill Russell and said, it is a great pleasure to have you here. And it was the very first person she acknowledged when she got to the event. And so people, Lindsay, people inside the game, people that have played the game like Michael, don't agree that Bill Russell isn't the greatest. They'll always bring him up. But for whatever reason, it hasn't translated to fans. And I think the main reason is because fans don't appreciate great defense as much as they do great offense.
That's true. Well put.
Well, Michael, shame on you for lumping me in with Max Kellerman.
You're way above him. I just like to tease you because you're from Cleveland, and Cleveland broke my heart.
All right, Lindsay, you got one more? Is that it?
Yeah, I've got one more. One of the bigger questions heading into the NFL offseason has to do with what the Cowboys are going to do with quarterback Dak Prescott. Before his season-ending ankle injury, Prescott was putting up huge numbers, working under the franchise tag as Cowboy fans eagerly waited for him to be signed to a long-term deal. Dallas great Troy Aikman is wondering, what the heck the Cowboys are waiting for. And he said if they decide to franchise tag Prescott for a second year, he thinks that's going to be the end of Dak in Dallas, saying, quote, I'd be really surprised if he's playing under the franchise tag again this year. My guess is, if he is, that's the last time we'll see Dak Prescott. Do you agree with Troy Aikman? Swipe left 100% or swipe right?
100% right. I don't get this, guys.
Yeah, he's one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the game.
And what's everybody looking for?
Yeah.
What did the Rams just completely overpay for? A quarterback. Dak Prescott, and by the way, the quarterback in Dallas has to be good. The Cowboys can't have a bad quarterback. That's why you basically went from Troy Aikman to Tony Romo and now to Dak. I mean, that's the highest profile quarterback job in the league, and he's good at it. And Ramona, I don't understand why they don't just give him the deal that all these other quarterbacks around the league are getting. He's perfect for that job. What are they waiting for?
Look, he's coming off pretty serious injury.
Oh, he was fine. It's a broken ankle. It's not like it's an Achilles.
And he broke it, by the way, trying to run for a first down.
Well, can't they just sign him to do another franchise tag and then like wait till they halfway could. Through the season and make sure that he's all right and then sign him the deal?
Yeah. They could, but I think Troy Aikman's right. Could. If they jerk him around again, you know, this is the last time they have that franchise tag to play.
Yeah.
So if they do it to him, if they give him the franchise tag, they basically give him control of the next contract.
Yeah. And then the contract after the franchise tag would probably be like $50 million a year. So they should just sign him now to a nice five-year. Baker Mayfield, your boy Lindsey's getting an extension. I can't believe
no,
that
he's not.
Kid. He's not? I thought the Browns were going to extend him.
They can wait one more year on Baker. He's only done it for 1 year. Dak's done it for multiple years. And, Michael, you're right. If they do it now, they can come in under Mahomes.
Right.
Next guy who breaks the bank – it's probably going to be Lamar Jackson. The next guy who breaks the bank, then the price goes up for Dak.
Right.
Sign Dak now to like $37-38 million a year
he's
for
coming
4 years.
He's coming off a big injury, though. And so I think in some ways that makes your point, actually, because you could probably get him for a little less, right? Give him a little more security when he's coming off an injury.
He basically
I just think the Cowboys are always looking out for – they're going to wait to the last possible second. Remember, they had a deal done with Dak, and then they just kind of, at the last second, they didn't get it done in time. Remember, they kind of finally agreed on something, and then it was too late?
Yeah, he did basically had the same injury as Gordon Haywood when his foot twisted around, and Haywood's back, and like nothing happened. So Dak will be fine.
Well, all right, it took a whole year, though. It took a whole year.
Yeah, all right, that's it for Radio Tinder. Thank you, Lindsey. Yeah. Coming up next, hey, Michael, Ramona just got an email that told her she has to have her all-star picks in after the weekend. So you and I are going to tell Ramona who we think she should put on her all-star ballot.
Just the starting five for each team.
Correct.
Okay, that's easy.
Just the starting five.
That's
easy. By the way, coming up 3:15, Bill Oram from The Athletic has a great article out about Kyle Kuzma today. I encourage all you guys to read it. Bill will join us to talk about Kuz. And Michael has Game of Games today.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The Mind of Michael Thompson. That's coming up next hour. Mason in Ireland. Ramona's here. Michael's here. 710 ESPN.